for you. And if you get anything, you got anything, it's the grace of God. For me or anybody else. And sure has been fun. And it sure goes fast. And now it's the last day. But thank you so much. Take your Bible this morning. Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We're going to begin. Well, we're going to read verse 26. Start with here. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. The Bible says this, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way which goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Now what you got here is a general call for Philip. For Philip, the only man mentioned in your Bible as the evangelist. Preachers are admonished to do the work of an evangelist. Amen. But Philip is specifically named as an evangelist. And here you've got a general, obviously he surrendered his life, and now you have a general call on his life. The angel of the Lord tells him, gives him a direction. And what a blessing it is for a preacher to have a direction. You want to be in the will of God. The world doesn't need our opinion. The world needs to know what God wants. Amen. And God's got a purpose, like I said the other night, for everything he does. And he had a direction. When you get a direction to go to a country, when you get a direction to go to a city, you rejoice, because what you want more than anything else with the devil in the world and your flesh will do is cause you to doubt whether you're in the right place doing the right thing. And when you can get direction from God and know it, praise the Lord. And Philip's got this direction. He's got this. The angel of the Lord has spoken into him. And it says, being an evangelist myself, 23 years, there's some things I see in the passage, and it says, arise and go toward the south. So that tells me that it's starting to get cold where he is. Because everybody knows evangelists are supposed to head south when it starts getting cold. Somebody said to me, says, you just follow the sun, huh? I said, you try getting your water out of a garden hose at 20 below, son, and you'd be heading toward the south too. When I first started evangelism, I did a meeting in Tallahassee, Florida. I was down there by myself. They put me in a little private chamber room. It was just a bedroom and a cot. I was glad to be there, glad to be asked to preach in a church. Might have been my first revival. And it was about 100 degrees, and in North Florida, that's very humid. And I was in a part of the section of the church. There was no air conditioning, and it was hot. It was hot during the day. And again, I didn't care. I was just starting out in evangelism. I was about 45, 44 years old. I was so glad to have a place to preach. But it was hot during the day. You'd sit around and try to read your Bible and sweat. The preacher came in, and he's the one that asked me to come. But he said, you know what? I got to tell you something, Brother Spurgeon. Evangelists are supposed to go up north in the summer and come down south in the winter. I said, yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. The only thing is, all the guys have been at it for years. They already got that figured out. And guys like me, we will take anything we can get. That was 23 years ago. I'm from Ohio. It's January. And I'm in San Antonio, Texas. Thank God for straightening that thing out for me. It says that the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. The verses that we're going to read through here give us a story about three men. I want to preach to you this morning about three men. And man number one, we're going to find him in verse 27. Man number one is in verse 27. It says this, but this is still Philip. He arose and went. How about that? Wonder how much more could get done when the Lord spake and we just arose and went. Instead of figure it out, reason it out, and weigh the consequences, you know, if we just do it. When Isaiah was told, when the Lord asked, who will go for us, whom shall I send and who will go for us, in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah said, hear my Lord, send me. And I thought, really? No survey trip? No. How long will I have to be there? What's it like? Tell me about the food. All the things, all the factors that we put into place. When did God, we could just get to a place where we can trust God with all the details. When you know it's God and He gives you direction, if we could just get to a place where we went, okay, here I am. It says, and He arose and went. That's what God's looking for. Obviously, He's not looking for great ability. But He sure is looking for availability. All right? So it says, and He arose and went, and behold, a man. A man. This is man number one. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Amen. Man number one says some things about him. He is a powerful man. He was a man of great authority. Says it plainly in the passage. He is a trustworthy man. I mean, it's kind of foolish. It would be kind of foolish to put an untrustworthy man in charge of your treasury. Amen. He's the treasurer of a country. He had charge of all the treasure. And not only that, he must be pretty smart. We've had some people in charge of the money in America that weren't very smart, and it's part of the reason we got the problems we have. Trustworthy, got to be smart to deal with the money. And not only that, he's a religious guy. It said he had come from, let me see, he had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He's a Jewish proselyte. Amen. He's from Ethiopia. He's not a Jew by birth. But he is seeking, and he makes this journey from where he lived, where the capital of Ethiopia was, to Jerusalem, was 1,000 miles. Talk about 2 hours on a bus. This guy is making this feast in Jerusalem for to worship in a chariot with no roads, no interstates at least. Very crude conditions. He's dedicated. He's looking for something. Amen. He went there for not to do business. He's not on the business of the government or the queen. He's not making money. It says plainly in the verse that he went there for the reason of, for to worship. You know, he's probably like a lot of people in church this morning, maybe in here today and all over the country. He may very well have been a great person. Just a good guy. Verse 28, it says, was returning. Now we're talking about the eunuch. And was returning and sitting in his chariot. Read Isaiah the prophet. He just made this journey. He's been in Jerusalem. He's on his way home. And he stops. And he's reading what Bible he has. What portion of scripture was available to him. And take a note of this. The scripture then was Hebrew. This guy's not Hebrew. Again, he must be pretty smart. He speaks more than one language. Some of you speak more than one language. I've been saved 29 years and I'm still trying to get a handle on English. Amen. But so the guy, you know, I say that to our shame because we have the Bible in our language. And we don't read it like we should. Amen?
Amen.
We have to have a calendar to read it. This guy stopped. Stopped on his journey. Maybe he needed to take a break. And how's he going to spend his time and rest? He's reading his scripture. Amen? Guess he wasn't satisfied with the religious experience he just had in Jerusalem. He didn't come out of that like some charismatic meeting where he's just floating on cloud nine until reality hits him in the face and he realizes that emotions don't carry you very long, very far. I believe the man stopped and pulled out the scripture because he was honest enough within his own spirit to realize that something was missing. You know, man is a religious being by nature, and if you study religion across the history of man, you find out that man has had some pretty crazy ideas about worshiping things and volcanoes, and it's because there's a void in us. There's something missing in man, created in the image of God, that only the living God can fill. And people search and find a lot of substitutes, and the devil sends a lot of substitutes. But I tell you what, this guy, if he's honestly searching, the Lord took note of it. We know people that are in some of these wacky churches around the country. Listen, I know some Christians that came out of some pretty wacky backgrounds. Good Christian, you know, you get what you get, and you do the best you can, but if there is a desire for truth, God will give you the truth. And there's people that have come through some of those things. Might be some examples here of some crazy maddict or some, I know Mormons that have gotten saved, Jehovah Witnesses that have gotten saved. They're not all devils. Some of them are just still looking for the truth, and who are they going to find it from? Who are they going to hear it from? Us. We need to be mindful of that.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord was mindful of this search because he sent Philip. I mean, here you got, it didn't come as any surprise to the Lord. Here you got the Ethiopian eunuch over here reading his Bible, and then reading what Bible he has, I want to be clear. And then Philip somewhere else says, hey, I need you to go, what for? No, he didn't say what for. He just went. God honor. Remember when Cornelius was praying and then God appeared to Peter and says, I want you to go to this Gentile. He went, no. He said, yes. Peter needed more persuading than Philip did. Because that was a little earlier in church history than this. And they'd seen more happen. And some of those folks really got a hold of it and said, whatever, wherever, I have decided to follow Jesus, just like the children. Just saying. So here you got the guy, and Philip comes upon him, and I say all that to say this. You might be like this fella here. You might be just like him in here this morning. You might be intelligent and honest and hardworking and successful and welcome to our church on a Sunday morning. You might be religious. But I'm here to tell you that if you don't know, not feel, not think, not hope, not pray. If you don't know on the authority of the Word of God where your soul would spend eternity, you've come to the right place. Because we'll just tell you what the Bible has to say. We'll tell you the truth. Amen. In your search, maybe you're searching. Maybe you don't even realize you're searching. But within your spirit, God knows. He'll give you the truth. You come to the right place. The search could be over today if you make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. I'll tell you what, I didn't even know I was searching, but the Lord sent the Word of God to me, sent the truth to me, changed my life, changed my eternity. Many of you could say the same. So if you're in here today and you're honest enough to be searching for what's missing, you're in the right place. The first man. Got to talk about three men this morning in the passage, but the first man is this guy right here, and he's a good man, and he's an honest man, and he's a, as far as we can tell, a decent man in every way. But he's not saved yet. And you might be just like him. And if you're not saved yet, that's what you need.
Amen.
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 All right, three men, simple message, three men, look at verse 20. Let me see, 28, now we're 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself unto this chariot. Hey, that is a general call in verse 26. The angel of the Lord sent Philip to a general direction toward Jerusalem, from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He sent him in a direction. Philip didn't know why, but, you know, I don't think there was a lot of traffic on this road that day. I mean, when Philip got there, there is a chariot. And so then you get his specific call. Then the Spirit, well, it said, then the Spirit of the Lord, you know, he spoke to him a second time. I got an idea that it might have had something to do with he did what he said when he spoke to him the first time. I know people, they've got some Bible in them. They claim to have a call, or they say they have a desire, but when the Lord speaks to them, they don't move. Then they wonder why he doesn't speak to them anymore. Well, why should he? You've already proved you're not paying attention. You gotta pay attention. You gotta respond. You gotta react. It's up to him, not you. You got a specific call, and to join thyself to this chariot. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you something. When was the last time, just be honest, when was the last time, the Spirit talked to you? I say thee because there's other spirits. I know some Christians, and they've been talked to by some spirits that don't have anything holy about them. I had a guy tell me one time, said, "Oh, Brother Spurgeon, a 9-foot Jesus appeared at the foot of my bed at 3:00 in the morning and told me to go do something foolish. What do you think about that?" I said, "I think you need to quit eating pizza so late, Jack. That ain't how the Holy Spirit operates." Amen.
Amen.
So let me just say it again. When was has he ever impressed you to hand out a tract? Or witness, or invite somebody to church, not because you know you're supposed to. We can get just religious enough. Okay, put a track everywhere we can. What I'm trying to say is this, all those are good things. But you know what? I mean, to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to be in a place and you know you're supposed, whatever your busy schedule is requiring of you, you know that God has orchestrated a circumstance and wants you to take the time, take a minute, talk to someone. That's a blessing.
Amen.
That's a blessing because it means the Lord's communicating with you. Like I say, we can get into a militaristic thing where we're doing our duty all the time, and I'm all for that. I'm very much all for that, doing what we're supposed to do, whether we feel like it or not. But I'm telling you what, if you'd ever be sensitive enough to the Spirit of God to be able to respond, there's just something about knowing that you've been a vessel meet for the Master's use that gratifies the Spirit of God within you and kind of counters all that negative influence in this life. The negative influence that says, you ain't doing no good, you ain't making no difference. My Bible says that we are. My Bible says our labor, for as much as you know that your labor's not in vain, but it feels like it. I know that's why this ain't based on feeling. This is what is based on the Word of God. That's, we know it, we know because the Bible says so. And bears witness to the Spirit of God within us. If you're saved, we need to do what we're supposed to do, but what a blessing it is to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. I tell you one way that might increase the number of times that happens, maybe would be to ask God for opportunities. Start the day. God, a word fitly spoken, the Bible says. God, if there's a track, if there's a person I'm supposed to talk, you show it to me. I mean, if you wake up with that kind of spirit instead of just getting up and going to work and doing what you got to do and all the stuff that may be good. But what if we just became more mindful of the need to bring the gospel to a lost and dying world? And I'm not talking about standing in the middle of the freeway and throwing tracks at cars. I'm not talking about foolish stuff. I'm talking about asking God for opportunity. And I'm not, oh, it's soul winning day. It's street preaching day. Oh, God. No, every day. When you're at work, when you're at school, wherever you go, just make that part of your morning. Oh, God, I want to be a vessel used by you today. I got news for you, man. He'll let you. I tried it. So man number one, he's a good man, as far as we can tell, but he's not saved. Man number two, we got Philip here. He's a Christian, and he's sensitive to the Spirit of God. And when Spirit said, go near and join, Philip did. That's what he lived for. Say, how do you know? Is that a stretch, Brother Spurgeon? Verse 30, it says this, and Philip ran. Man, he jumped at the chance. He saw the opportunity. He had direction from God. And the Bible said he ran thither to him. I know some Christians that ran when the Lord was speaking to them too. Only it was the wrong way. Verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read Isaiah and the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest. He didn't just knock on the door and the guy said, yes, I'm saved. Oh, great. I mean, that's what happens. You go door to door. Listen, people have learned the lingo. They've learned to say, yes, I'm saved. But if you leave it at that, if you ever inquired, you ever pushed that a little bit, you might find out that they might have a different definition of being saved than what the Bible does. He didn't just come upon this thing. He knows the Lord sent him. There's a chariot out there. There's a guy in it. He's reading the scripture. And Philip just didn't say, oh, hey, a fellow believer. He had enough spiritual discernment to determine whether or not the guy knew what he was reading. He could tell he wasn't saved. He's just reading it like a book. He's reading it and he's like questioning and he says, understandeth what thou readest. I don't know any better way to say it. He had the spiritual discernment to determine that he probably didn't understand what he was saying. You need to have the kind of discernment when you have a conversation with somebody about Bible issues. I don't want to say religion. The guy responded in verse 31 with these words. And he said, how can I? We're talking about understanding. How can I except some man guide me? Some man should guide me. That's man number two. Man number one was a man of Ethiopia. Man number two is the some man that's able to guide this guy, amen, through the scripture. How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Amen. It says there, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And Philip knew where he was reading. He was reading there in Isaiah 53. Amen. Good thing that this guy, when Philip asked him, understand what that read is, he didn't look down on this. I mean, if he's the treasurer of the country, probably got a pretty fancy chariot. Probably dressed real nice. I doubt Philip was in flashy clothes. Amen. Thank God he didn't look down on him and say, what could you possibly tell me? There's a lot of people like that. I've been in cities on the street, offered a tract, and been blown off. Amen. Like, you know, what could you, here I am, successful businessman out on the street downtown, on my lunch break, and here we are, a bunch of ragtag Christians singing on the street, trying to hand out tracts, do a little preaching, and I've had businessmen come down and mock and look at us and just, I had a group of four guys coming to me one time, and the girls were out there singing, and I said, hey man, can I give you something to read? And I had some tracts, and they just kind of, they were insulting. They just, you know, they didn't even say anything. Then about 10 feet away, my little girl was like 8, and she goes, can I give you something to read about my dad? Oh yes, honey, we take it. And I thought, God has got such a sense of humor. Thank God this guy didn't let his pride keep him from asking for help. And it does. It happens all the time. And there's people in hell today, even some from a church pew, because they let their pride keep them from being honest with themselves. When the preacher said, do you know on the authority of the word of God that you're saved? We're glad you're here. There's something about humbling themselves, even admitting to themselves sometimes that they have a need that's never been met. We are so caught up in trying to put on airs. And boy, this is the last place in the world you ever want to be phony when it comes to the issue of salvation. Had not some man come along to guide him, he would have remained religious and a Bible-reading churchgoer, no doubt. Just like a lot of people in churches today. And then when he died, he would have went straight to hell. Man number one, good man, honest man, decent man by all indication. But he's not saved. And if you're in here this morning, we're glad you're here. But if you're not saved, man number one represents you. Now those of you in here that are saved, well, Philip, the second man, the some man, able to guide people to Christ, he represents you. Amen. Let me ask you, can you be the some man that can bring another person to Christ? You need to be. You need to be. Three men this morning. Man number one, lost person in search of the truth. Man number two is the saved person who's able to help. But man number three, and we read about him in verses 32 and 33, then in verse 34, it says this, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Could I tell you? It was definitely some other man that he was talking about. Man number three in the passage is definitely by far the most important. Verse 35, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. Isaiah 53. Began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. To me, it's significant that he didn't start with everything the guy was doing wrong, everything that he might have learned wrong, was taught wrong, or done wrong. He didn't. He just started telling him about somebody that did everything right. Preached unto him Jesus. Probably told him that success and power and hard work and education and religion wasn't going to get him to heaven. Any more than it'll get anybody else to heaven. Any more than it'll get you to heaven if you're in here this morning and you're not saved. I got some good news for you this morning. Jesus Christ will.
Amen.
Jesus Christ will get you to heaven.
Amen.
Preacher's been teaching the last 2 weeks. What a blessing it was for me and my wife. The Bible said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, here's how you know he's not talking about trees and birds. It says whosoever. That's a personal pronoun. Whosoever believing in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's Jesus. His only begotten son, that's Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, Paul said this, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Talk about first things first. Talk about keeping the main thing, he says, how that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to scripture. Philip preached unto him Jesus. You know what this world needs is Jesus. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
And Paul said, in whom I am chief. And, boy, he's gone, and now you and I are jockeying for position as chief of sinners. But I'll tell you what that verse does, that qualifies you. If you're in here and you're not saved, you are pre-qualified for the gift of eternal life. Because the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, not get baptized, not join a church, not go straight, not turn over a new leaf, it's that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. My favorite punctuation. I mean, you ever meet anybody with a favorite punctuation mark? I have a favorite punctuation mark. It's a period. Because it says, thou shalt be saved. Period. No comma, no semicolon, no as long as you. No, that book says, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. A lot of people know about Jesus, especially in America. I mean, the cable channels have specials on Jesus. I hear, I don't know. But head knowledge is not going to get you into heaven any more than it's going to get anybody else into heaven. You got to believe in your heart. I had a prisoner say to me one time, said, well, what does that mean? To believe in your heart. And I thought, well, I'd never been asked that. And I just responded like this. I said, if every human being in the history of the human race was going to heaven except you, Jesus Christ would have still came down from heaven. He would have still lived 30 years in that poor country under those conditions dominated by Rome. He still would have preached, repent for the kingdom of God. He still would have went to the cross. He'd allowed them to beat him beyond recognition and nail him to the cross for you. Not us. To believe in your heart means to get a hold of the fact that we have a need. We've been singing the song. We have a need that we could not meet. We had a debt we could not pay. And Jesus Christ came down to make a way for our sins to be given personally, individually. If you're sitting there this morning, I'm happy you got in on what Jesus Christ did for me. Amen. That's how I look at it. That's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. To believe in your heart is to get a hold of the fact that God, like preacher said this morning, knows you, cares about you, loves you, and made the ultimate sacrifice for you. Bible salvation is not a feather in your hat or a plaque on the wall or another thing to add to your list of accomplishments. Bible salvation is absolutely the most important issue there is. We've got three men. Three men in the passage. One of them needed it. The other one was able to give it. Tell him, preach to him about the only one that can make us right with God. Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Three men. Very different men. If you're not saved here this morning, here, I'm going to say it again. You're like man number one. And you need to know the very same things he knew. Coming to church won't take care of it. You can live by this book. You can live by Christian principles. And they'll make for a good life. Christian principles work for anybody that employs them. Christian principles don't get you to heaven. Only Jesus can do that. Amen. That said there in Acts 16, I talked about it last week and brought them out. That jailer brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they didn't give him a long, complicated commentary. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. Let me tell you something. The best shot your family's got is for you to get saved. If you're in here and you are saved this morning, I know many of you are, you're supposed to be like man number two. You're supposed to be able to guide people to Jesus Christ. Can you? You know what I know about this church? Many of you can. I guess the question then goes to, are you? You know, that tract that I wrote, it says, he lived life in a fast lane. Every American lived life in a fast lane. And even Christians, even Bible-believing Christians, can get caught up in this busy life and go about our business, not doing bad things, doing what we're supposed to do, going to work, taking care of our family, all that, going to church, helping out a church, and get to where we're just passing people day in and day out that if we would check with the Lord, we might find out that some of those people are in our path because you may be the only true Bible Christian that'll cross their path, maybe in their whole life. And God will give you an opportunity to make a difference. I mean, somebody made a difference in your life. You owe it to them. Three men. Very simple message this morning. So if you're not saved, boy, our prayer is that you'd let us open a Bible and answer any question you have. Amen? Our prayer is that you'd allow us through the Word of God. No ulterior motive. No agenda. Allow us to guide you to Jesus Christ. If you're not sure, you can be sure. The Bible says you can know you have eternal life. Say, well, I was taught different. So was I. That's why this isn't about what we think, what we heard on TV, or the way we were taught. It has to do with what that book says.
Amen.
And the book says you can know, and if you don't know, boy, wouldn't it be a relief? Talk about a burden lifted to walk out of here knowing, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I tell you what, unless I die, because if I die, I do know what tomorrow's going to bring. And if you're not sure, you don't have to live another day wondering if you're going to heaven or hell. And those are the only two choices. So if you're not saved, we'd love to help you see what you need to do to get saved. It's easy. I got saved in a jail cell. Alone. 6 o'clock in the morning. What'd I do? Got honest with myself. I said, if that book's true, I got more trouble than being locked up. I'm going to hell. I deserve to go to hell. I admitted that. But Jesus Christ went to the cross so I wouldn't have to.
Amen.
You know, I've done a lot of dumb things in my life. But if I go to hell after finding out that I didn't have to, well, that'd pretty much take the cake. That'd be the dumbest thing I ever did. Now, that's how I looked at it. But I'll tell you what, if you're not saved, boy, I implore you to tarry a little bit. We'll take, and you know, sometimes we say, we'll take all the time necessary. People say, well, I've already been here too long. It is so simple. With an honest heart, 5 minutes, several verses, you can get all the information you need. Then the choice is yours. And our prayer is that you make the right choice. It's got to be you. If you're in here and you are saved, amen, and you haven't been the witness, you should be. You know what I'd say to you as we wrap up this meeting, as we look at 2020, I believe the Lord will be back for 2021, don't you? Say, yeah, well, you said that last time. Well, I was wrong. I'm going to get it right one of these days. And no, amen? But I tell you a good way to start this year, maybe, if you weren't the witness you should have been in 2019 and you're not worried about what everybody thinks, maybe you should come to an old-fashioned altar and ask the Lord to help you be the witness you should be. Even if you were, why wouldn't that still be a good way to start the year? To humble ourselves and ask God, help us, God. Help us be a vessel meet for the master's use. I like that. I like that phrase. Amen? And if you've been at it, and I've been coming here, I don't know, since 2012. If you've been at it, and I know many of you have, by all means, stay at it.
Amen.
Stay in the fight. It's a good one. It's worth it. This world's gotten... Listen, you're in San Antonio. I'm coast to coast, north, south, east, and west. This world's got nothing better than this. And as I go to different cities around the country, whether it's New York or Los Angeles or Miami, the best thing going on in any of those places is this right here. Little outposts of believers that are thankful for what Jesus Christ did for them and by the grace of God are going to endeavor to stay in the fight for the glory of God. That's what my charge is for you this morning. Let's stand if you're able. The invitation's clear. Preacher's going to come. You listen to what he says. He'll give you some direction. There's people in here. There's teenagers in here that can open a Bible and show you. Answer questions, show you how to be saved. Man with a man, lady with a lady, don't let the opportunity pass. Just don't check this meeting off the list without doing some soul searching and business with God. If you're a Christian in here this morning, yeah, we're glad you're here. But boy, I tell you what, no matter how good last year was, wouldn't it be wise to ask God for Paul said, a great door and effectual is open unto me. Isn't that a blessing? But you know, the verse finishes with, there are many adversaries, and I just wonder if that keeps some of us from being the witness that we could be. What in the world would a child of God be afraid of? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Preacher, you come, you doing it? Come on. You listen, you sing. But if you need to come, the altar's open. Amen. Let's start the new year right.